chaos. Do we want to be subject to it? Or do we want to do what Genesis 1 indicates that God gave us, which is dominion? It is an absolute individual salvation. The caveat is, one cannot be passive. I very seldom look at news, but I did for 1 minute late last night, just before I unplugged everything for the evening, or should I say the early morning, and I saw there was a false flag on a location that was a state of the U.S. It was a location that was heavily populated by indigenous people, or I should say individuals. Just like the one occurred in Northern California a couple of years ago, it was a targeted chaos by the U.S. government. The one in California had pieces of plastic laying around that were not even touched. And yet it destroyed all of the homes. It obviously was an electronic transmission from one of the government agencies. We've reported on it before. We know what they do and how they operate. All the storms are a result of that activity. All along the East Coast, the Gulf State area, all of the areas that are heavy and committed to freedom, those are the targeted areas. And then they swoop in there with another government agency supposed to provide help, when in fact what they do is rob and pillage at gunpoint the population. The governors are complicit because they're a part of the deal. They get paid heavily. They prevent the law enforcement to go in there to try to help. They're all paid to stay down. The bottom line is that we can either follow Genesis 1, or we can be a victim. Because if we are passive, we are making ourselves subject to the belief of chaos. And it will affect us one way or another in the weakest part of our body. And by body, that is everything in our thoughts. All thought, speech, and action. Doesn't matter whether it's ourselves or someone else. Doesn't matter whether it's a relationship, a business, a home life, children, parents, spouse, friends. Doesn't matter. Customers. It will affect us in the weakest part of our body. We need to individually decide whether we are going to accept a false flag as being real. And a false flag, as I'm defining it here, is anything that is less than 100% godlike. Any discord at all is a false flag. It is something that is trying to get our attention. It is the phone screaming at us, ringing off the hook, trying to get us to pick it up and say, oh yeah, I know that there's a big problem here and da-da-da-da-da. Nothing we can do about it. It's an act of God. Well, that sounds like an insurance company executive that doesn't want to pay a claim. They blame it on God. There is not a single volcano eruption, a single storm, I don't care what kind it is, whether it's wind, fire, water, doesn't matter. Every single thing that is discordant, is a false flag, is man-made, and can be neutralized and reversed. Many of the very finest, most advanced Christian scientists have been able to prove that. And obviously, Mary Baker Eddy's at the top of the list because she controlled the weather around Pleasant View. And I'm sure the same thing around Chestnut Hill after she moved to the Back Bay area of Boston. She had a team that was working on the weather whenever it seemed to be a warning of approaching the domain of the homes where she was living. We not only can do, but must do the same thing. Because the weather is not really the symptom that we see. We are seeing the result of an effort to control the atmosphere of love. Something that tries to neuter freedom. Something that tries to stop in its tracks the effort to be free. Rallies of people that are generally, genuinely, consistently talking freedom are attacked from top to bottom and all the way around. Continuously. Our website is not immune to it, for we're out there preaching freedom day in and day out. We're promoting Mary Baker Eddy and other fine messengers of God who are trying to offer tools, or who are offering tools, that enable one to have an improved sense of dominion over their lives. Mary Baker Eddy stated that she could not have started a movement for Christian Science anywhere else in the world except America, because we had a constitution, 1790, I think it was, and a Bill of Rights that gave us the opportunity to have dominion over America instead of being an oppressed subject of the state, and the state being a broad term including government. And of course, that's what the people that came over here and established America, as their purpose is to get away from the oppression of the governments of Europe. They couldn't do anything. They'd taken away their rights to religion, everything. The elections were rigged. The banking system was rigged. Fortunately, at least one country, the one that is hated and promoted to be hated by everyone, is the one that is the freest. They got rid of the entire corrupt banking system, chased them out of town. Other ones that have very low morals, they've incarcerated them. Ones that are out there promoting Sodom and Gomorrah level of morals. They've established a rule of law that they follow strictly. Even the president cannot and does not do things that are against the rule of law established by their constitution. Well, our constitution is mental. Where are we going to put the bar, thinking about a high jumper in the sport of, field, called field, all the activities like high jumping, broad jumping, running, around the track, racing. It's all called field, F-I-E-L-D. So where are we going to put the bar on our high jump structure? Where we will not go below it. We will always make sure we jump over it. Genesis 1 says that we must let man have dominion. And then it says God gave man dominion. We don't have it unless we let it be accepted as our standard. That's where our bar needs to be. Our high jump bar needs to be at a level that does not compromise our God-given right to be free. That means free to be a God-like manifestation. It doesn't mean free to establish a low set of morals and ethics, no matter what way you look at it, whether it's bringing harm to another one or whether it's trying to lower the standard of the population. Of course, that's what these false flags are. They're trying to lower the standard of the population to where the population will accept it as normal. They want us to accept a low, in fact, an absent standard of morals, total absent standard, to be normal. One of the most popular Hollywood stars just last week said that, said pedophilia is, happened to be a woman, said pedophilia is really good because it makes the children feel good. I don't know. I wasn't around during the biblical story, at least I'm not aware of being around, when the biblical story of Sodom and Gomorrah was recording that time frame in biblical history. But how could it be that low? Well, I guess it must have been. God didn't find even one person that was worthy in order to save the city, so he destroyed the whole thing. He didn't destroy anything. They destroyed themselves by violating the principles of good morals. Self-destructive. God's not destructive. God represents incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love, all-substance, intelligence. Definition of good is God, spirit, omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscience, omniaction. Spirit is flawless. That's the only substance. So there's not a single activity of God that could be flawed with matter. Matter is opaque. Matter is total flaws. There's no purity in matter whatsoever. None. Spirit is flawless, and therefore it is absolute transparent. Absolutely transparent. You put a microscope on it like a jeweler does on a diamond to try to grade it, there's no little tiny black speck that is a flaw. None. It is flawless. Therefore, it's transparent. The Indians called this beautiful lake that was calm and reflecting the atmosphere around it, beautiful trees and flowers and everything. Called it the smile of the Great Spirit. We need to be an example of the smile of the Great Spirit. We need to be reflecting harmony. We need to be rejecting the possibility that chaos is real. We have to do our analysis. We have to expose it. We have to eradicate it. And we have to be the result of the manifestation of God. We have to remove every veil. We cannot be having a jaundiced vision and see reality. We have one choice. One choice. There's no alternates. There's no mixture. There's no alloy. We've got to be the pure gold. We've got to be the pure essence of God. Otherwise, God is not a source. God needs every single individual to be reflecting and be acting, talk, speech, and action of His manifestation. A wonderful painter, sculpturist, architect, homemaker, ditch digger. Doesn't matter what you do, but do it with perfection. Do it as reflecting the spiritual nature that one is. That's our only choice. We don't have another choice. Our choice is to either be real or to be a fake. And if we accept chaos, such as them burning down these cities, and look at all the food processing plants that they've destroyed. They're trying to destroy the entire food supply of America. I live somewhere else, so I'm not affected by the prices that are outrageous, where most people that listen to this recording are probably located. What is it, $6 or $7 U.S. dollars for a dozen eggs? Ridiculous. I get them for $1. Oranges, they haven't changed in price. Bananas. It's all fraud. You know, they've killed, I don't know how many chickens. It's a big number, a lot of zeros on it. They just went in there and claimed that they all had a disease and they had to destroy them. Of course, the people that do this are not affected because they're protected. They're immune until the military tribunal catches up with them, and then they see their day at the gallows, or like one was the guillotine. They figured he was too tall and needed to cut him down to size. They cut his head off. They actually did that. They've got something like 170 people right now that they picked up all at one time. The totally illegitimate people in charge of the government make threats to the people that are trying to have freedom. And they say, you surrender to us or else. They go in and pillage their gold, their guns, their cash. So, the people that are promoting freedom sank a couple of their ships where they go in there and take people prisoners till they can milk them for everything they've got. We have to stand up for what is principle. We have to stand up for what is spirit. We have to have our bar high. America will be lost if we don't do this. God works with those who are working. God helps them who are helping themselves. What does God do? Well, God's already done it. Mary Baker Eddy's already done it. She's translated what God did. She's translated what Jesus Christ, or should I say Christ Jesus did. Jesus the Christ, what he did. He said he was at one with God. Didn't say he was God. He said he was at one with God in consciousness. His thought, speech, and action was God-like. So therefore, he earned to be called the Son of Man and eventually the Son of God. We all have the same opportunity. Jesus said that we should be doing more than he did. Greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. Well, that means that he proved that there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. He overcome the belief of matter. He did it in a nominal way when he walked on the water, but when he disappeared, same with John over there on the island of Patmos, no record of him ever having a body that he left behind. Mary Baker Eddy could have done the same thing, but she knew that there would be real trouble because people weren't ready for that, to see that experience. She transported herself from Boston over to the West Coast instantaneously, stayed there for 2 weeks until she was done with whatever her purpose was, and then came back. No time involved. There were no jet airplanes, no rocket ships. Well, there might have been, but we don't know about them. Look at all these lost cities that were found to be highly advanced. The pyramids. How in the world did they ever build the pyramid unless they were really advanced in mathematics and architecture? How in the world did they build such a monumental, mammoth thing with all the tunnels, all the messages inscribed inside? Like Genesis 1 says, in the only Mr. Rawson, one of the finest practitioners of all time, said we should be able to demonstrate everything mentally. Not do anything with our hands and arms and legs and all that kind of stuff. It should all be done mentally. We can instantly think that we're on another planet or with a friend who is on the other side of Earth. I know Tesla told us that this is an electromagnetic field and it's not something made of dirt, and that we don't really have gravity to overcome, because the only thing that is affecting the attraction is the electromagnetic field, of which this is what Earth is made of. That's why when they broke down the atom, they couldn't find any matter. They kept breaking it into smaller and smaller pieces and realized that it was consciousness. Around 1900, they discovered quantum mechanics, and that's where they came to the realization that what we're involved in is a field of energy. Mr. Rawson, who was an expert in electricity, called it ether. Tesla named it the same thing. I think it was like 1927 Tesla made the remark. Mr. Rawson had done it earlier. He had passed on from this earth around 1920 or 22. He probably made the statement 1910 or 15. He was able to short circuit this electromagnetic field which brought about healing. And that's exactly what happened, or what does happen, when we have a change of our thought. Because our thought is really our DNA. So all we have to do to change our DNA is to change our thought. And all that we have to do to change our thought is to get an understanding of what God is. And that we are not only a reflection, but we are a manifestation with a direct connection. A pianist is not a pianist unless he performs. We're not a manifestation unless we act like it. An architect cannot have a great building unless he performs his talent of being an architect. Frank Lloyd Wright had his vision that was above and beyond, apparently, the other architects of his day. There are people in every field that have a vision that is beyond the others around them, and they're suppressed because the government will not let them register a patent on their discovery. It's all controlled by a foreign country. We don't even control our own patent office. Our patent office needs to be in our thought. It needs to be our consciousness. Do we have it cleaned out? Do we have any sense of oppression cleaned out of our consciousness? We cannot be oppressed by a foreign country or by a government, whether it's local or foreign or whatever, unless we accept it, unless we normalize it. Do we want to be normalized as Sodom and Gomorrah? Do we want to be normalized as being stupid? That's the latest gig over the last 50 or 75 years, is to dumb down America. They don't even teach math, reading, and writing. They're trying to eliminate that from all educational curriculum. The seldom times that I go shopping, I go into a store, and when I'm ready to check out, I know very close to what the total is, so I can have the money prepared and pay. Kids today don't even know the math tables, let alone how to add and subtract, or to summarize. They've got a little calculator or their cell phone. That's it. That's their life. Everything is in a little device, the size of what they can put in their pocket. When they lose their cell phone, they're dead. I mean, they're out of business. They're totally dependent upon it. They don't know how to think. They haven't been taught how to think. They haven't been taught how to solve a problem. One of the greatest teachers said, there's only one purpose of education, and that is to teach the student how to think. One professor hung a white sheet up with a little black dot in the middle of it, asked for comments from the students. They thought he was ridiculous. Said, "What is he just showing us a white sheet?" Nothing. Somebody recognized the black dot, and they said, "Oh, he wants us to focus on the black dot." And he said, "That's exactly what I don't want you to focus on, because you're being myopic." He said, "You've got to see the big picture." And it was a white sheet on purpose, because he wanted them to see the purity of the big picture. He didn't want it to be impaired with dark glasses. He wanted them to see the purity of the big picture so that they could see how to solve problems that were like the little black dot. Are we going to accept a volcano eruption? a storm of any kind whatsoever as being normal and beyond control by the good thinker, by the good Christian Science practitioner. We should all be practitioners. We should be practicing Christian Science. We should be practicing what all the great messengers were practicing, the truth, the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Are we doing it? Are we accepting the news as being real when in fact it is a fake? It is a mirage. It is a false representation by the media. From as long as I can remember, the thing that got the portion that was above the fold, that means if you fold a newspaper, it's the first thing you look at, which is the top half of the page, and page one, not hidden back there on page 87. But everything is devoted to emotion, trying to get somebody emotional about something, trying to get them excited in a bad way, trying to get someone to divert what they think is true to what the newspaper wanted them to believe as being what they should be focusing on. It always amazes me when they have somebody out on the street with a microphone that has just gone through a catastrophe, and they ask them a real stupid question. How do you feel about that? Can you believe somebody would be so crass as to ask somebody that just went through a catastrophe how they feel about it? When we see someone on the street and they sit outside these big stores, you know, begging for money. I mean, I saw one yesterday. Very sad situation. I've seen them many times. Every time I go to that store, they are there. They have absolutely no control of themselves. What should we be doing about that? I was very pleased to hear the lady that was her mother, and she knows me very well She watches my vehicle when I'm there. I use a two-wheel and park it up on the sidewalk by the entrance, which is where they park them. And she says, I'll watch it for you. Such a sweet thought. Anyway, yesterday I said, how's your daughter doing? She says, better. I never just give them money. Mary Baker Eddy makes the statement, I believe she's the one, that said it's easier to give money to someone that is in a dire need than not to. I guess it makes one's conscience feel like they've done something worthy. But just giving them money means that might help, but that's not what our responsibility is. Mary Baker Eddy asked one of her students, she says, what do you see? What do you do when you see a stray dog? What do you do when you see a person in need? And she gave them, you know, two or three examples. Those were two of them. She says, are you a Christian Scientist? He knew immediately what he should be doing. But his reply was, no, Mrs. Eddy, I am not a Christian Scientist. He knew what he should be doing. The same thing we should be doing if we see a car accident out on the road. I mean, that's what is supposed to make a difference in whether or not we're a Christian Scientist or not. What are we doing about it? If we see a storm, what are we doing about it? Remember, everything that's not perfect is a false flag. It is an attempt by an aggressive mental suggestion to be ringing the phone off the hook and getting our attention to pick it up and listen and argue with it. That's it. Are we going to let man have dominion over everything that God created? Are we going to let it be? Are we going to let it be with our own conscience? Are we going to expect everyone to be acting like a child of God? Our choice is very easy. Doing it is another story, but the answer to the question is very easy. We need to take a stand. We need to have that bar high, and we need to keep it high, and we need to be perseverant and do like Mary Baker Eddy says, often the difference between success and failure is what we do with the moment. Moment is defined as the smallest measurement of time. It's not a mathematical measurement. It is a word measurement. The smallest, that's it. The smallest. It's not something with a decimal with a lot of zeros and then a number at the end on the right, to the right of the decimal. No, it's a word. Like infinite is a word. You can't define infinite with numbers. Well, they do have a symbol that is like a figure eight lying on its side. But that's not a number. That's an expression of a word. It's an expression of the word infinite. We have a responsibility. Are we going to do it? Are we going to accept our responsibility to be a Christian Scientist? Are we going to accept our responsibility to make a difference? Every drop counts. We're one drop. Are we going to start a flood of drops of good? We can do it. Mary Baker Eddy said, if only a few of her students would stick together in unity, they could change the world. I don't know what she meant by that, whether she meant what she believed Earth to be as a planet or whether it's the whole universe or what. But the idea is that it only takes a few people to make a change. There's a real concerted effort to get rid of the one guy that is the most widely accepted as being the one promoting freedom, individual freedom. They think that one man can make the difference because they're doing everything possible to destroy him. They've tried, I don't know, 15 or 20 times to assassinate him. He's prophesied in the Bible as being a messenger of God, as Mary Baker Eddy was, as other ones have been. Jesus was prophesied at least 2,000 years before he appeared in the flesh, or what appeared as the flesh. He was really much more than that. He was the Christ consciousness. We have an opportunity. Everyone has an opportunity every single moment. If we want to see a difference, forget about waiting on the guy that everybody is waiting on to save the world. We have to do it individually. If he did it for us, we'd lose it because we didn't earn it. If we earn it, we're going to be so tenacious that no one can even approach trying to destroy it again. I don't care how many decades the corrupt banking cartel put this plan together to control the world. They now really control all the central banks except the one in one country. There's a list of them. It's all public information. They are even now telling you what their plan is. Eat bugs, own nothing, and be happy. That's it. Eat bugs, own nothing, and be happy. Yeah, that's it. That's their motto. Three-prong approach to total utopia. They used to hide it. Their plan for genocide, which was getting rid of 94% of the population, was secret for decades, but that finally leaked out about, I don't know, a few years ago. The pandemic, these vaccines, all that stuff is genocide. Genocide. They take one with saline in it, you know, salt. And everyone else gets the one with the poison. Okay. That's all the thoughts that come to me at the moment on this topic. Chaos. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to neutralize it and bring forth the harmony and the balance the divine principle represents? Are we going to utilize the capacity, creative ability of mind? Are we going to utilize the intelligence, wisdom, and knowing of omniscience? Are we going to utilize the capacity, capability, functionality, facility of mind? And this is the one infinite mind, the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, not what is so-called mortal mind, which Mary Baker Eddy states very clearly is a fake. Says mind could not be mortal because mind is immortal. So it can't be the opposite and the positive. If we utilize those things just mentioned, then we can utilize the action of mind and we can bring forth performance, and it then can then be measured and becomes power. Power is only a measurement of performance. Performance is a result of putting action to all of these other things that were mentioned. And it all has to be based on the only substance, which is spirit, which is flawless, which is transparent, which is reflective. We have to be utilizing all the spiritual senses of soul, which is spiritual seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. Check out the Blue Book by Richard Oakes. I think it's page 212 or 222. I should look it up. Instead of keep saying it's this page or that page. Anyway, she says in two or three words what each of these spiritual senses are. And seeing is perception. We have to be sorting the chaff from the wheat. We have to be recognizing reality. And hearing is spiritual understanding. Anyway, she goes through the five. That's the only senses we should be utilizing. Otherwise, we cannot get a correct identification of anything. Because soul enables identification. How about life? Or no, I'm sorry, principle is the next one. Principle. Such system and structure. And it's based on spirit. It has to be the structure of spirit. And it has to be the plan and design of love. Because plan and design are functions of love. Principle is self-operating. Are we letting it operate in our consciousness? Are we going to principle every time there's a decision to see if we're in line with principle? Are we structured and systematic in what we're doing? Certainly Mary Baker Eddy had to be. There's no way she could accomplish what she did without being systematized and structured. And life, boy, did she give life to everything. She gave life to good. She's devoted several times a day, stopped her other work, and she would just focus on the perfection of everything. She gave life to perfection. That's spirit, flawless. That's love. Love is also perfection because love represents the finale of the seven where it has nurtured the mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and therefore became whole and complete? Are we giving it life, or are we passive? Are we passive and just letting the chaos inundate our consciousness? Or are we activating the pureness of reality? How about truth? Do we want that wall to be straight, if it's supposed to be, according to the architect? Do we want it to be 90 degrees to a perpendicular base that is level? Truth is our consciousness. Truth is our motive. What is our motive? What is our consciousness? Our actions, our thought, speech, and action is a result of what is in our thought. Shakespeare said, and quoted by Mary Baker Eddy at the beginning of Science and Health, the textbook of Christian Science, she said, nothing either good or bad, or he said, Shakespeare, nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Well, that's our result. That's our life. That's our body. Our body is everything in our thought. Are we making our body be a representation of a child of God? Or are we just accepting lie upon lie, as Mary Baker Eddy said, what material life is? It's a compounding of lie upon lie. And then love is being the mother. Life is being the father, giving it courage and strength, perseverance. Love is being the mother, which is nurturing every other quality, nurturing them all, making sure that we are intelligent. If we're listening to love, the plan and design of love, we're going to make sure that our decisions are intelligent decisions, a wise decision, knowing decisions. McDonald Young said his biggest problem when somebody came to him wanting help on his business is he didn't know his business. Do we know what we're doing, no matter what we are doing, if we're a homemaker or if we're a rocket scientist? Doesn't matter. We need to know what we're doing if we're going to be doing it. And if we don't, we got to learn it. Can't be a wonderful painter or architect or anything else if we don't know the principle of what we're doing. So love is putting it all together. That's the wholeness. And I will mention briefly the four levels, the operators, just like math has add, subtract, multiply, and divide, the operators of the system of divine metaphysics that Mary Baker Eddy refers to on page 146 of Science and Health. She says, I've reduced Christian Science to a system. Well, that system consists of operators, which includes the word Christ, Christianity, and science. The word is the facts about God. We can't even get close to understanding what God is until we have given up on what we think is our only alternative of living, which is in a matter-based life. We've got to come disgusted with it. We got to say, that's no solution. It's not working. I've got to find something better. Then we can go and start to learn about God, the facts about God. Not until then. And once we do that, then we've got to go through the Christ, which is the interpretation and translation. Well, no matter what we're facing, Mary Baker Eddy says in her article, or not an article, but a letter to a student on vision, she says, can you focus no matter what comes your way? That's what we have to do. We don't care what the news says about chaos. We have to focus on the truth. The truth is the opposite of chaos. The truth is balance and harmony. So she says, can you focus? Well, that's what we have to do. Translating is, no matter what comes our way, we have to be by like Christ Jesus. He saw the perfect man. He couldn't heal Tabitha of death. He couldn't heal Lazarus of death. He couldn't heal the lepers, the 10 lepers, or the blind man, Bartimaeus, whatever. He couldn't make any of these healings if he was down on the level of the people, the level of the problem. Einstein says if we want to solve a problem, we have to go to a higher level than where the problem was perceived. Of course, in Christian Science, that means go to the spiritual level. get out of the material level, because that's where the problem appears. That means we're down in the gutter. We got to get our thought out of the gutter into the kingdom of God. Like Mr. Winslow says, the phone is ringing all the time. It just begs you to pick it up and listen to it, argue with it. He says, listen to the radio station KOG, which is only a one-way communication announcing itself. And that's all the qualities of God, announcing themselves. That's where we got to have our thought. We got to think about being perfect, living in a perfect heaven with a perfect God, and doing it. So that's the translation and interpretation. The next one is Christianity, and that means we're demonstrating. We're demonstrating what we learned about the facts of God and what we did in terms of interpreting and translating. We're demonstrating it. We're proving it to be true. That's what Mr. Rawson was so famous for. He tested everything to see if it worked. If it worked, he used it. If it didn't, he didn't use it. He discovered retroactive healing, and he tested it before he could say it works. He tested it 500 times. Well, I don't know that he tested it 500. He tested it enough till he was convinced, and then he proved it 500 times. Over 500, he states. He excelled in everything he did. There's no question that he was on the side of truth. And once we demonstrate it, once we prove that it works, then we're into the real science, which means that we have ascended above the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. So we are living the Christ all the time, automatically. That's the science. We are it. We are it. We are the product of the child of God. We are the sons and daughters of God, not just of man accomplishing dominion over the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter, but now we have become the pureness, the white sheet without the black dot. That's science. Chaos. And what do we do about it? No matter what form it takes, it's all the same thing. A common denominator of being nothing, being unreal. There's nothing but God. Are we going to prove it? Are we going to demonstrate it? Are we going to be what that product tells us? The perfect child of God? It's our duty. Amen.